from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Thursday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast, which is really just the Larry Williams Breakfast these days, in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and what have we got for you this morning? Hillary Clinton's book. Is she making any good points, or is it all just moaning after the fact? Jian Yang, is he a Chinese spy? Lucy Lawless, is she a singer, not an actor? And Brian Cox, not the actor, the physicist. Confused? I'm not sure I'm going to be any help, to be honest. Are national tech ads going too far, or is it just part of politics?
Number one, tops Gareth Morgan's onslaught against Winston Peters, designed to nobble New Zealand first in targeted electorates. Morgan says Peters' politics were of the worst kind. He's xenophobic, racist, homophobic. Peters had a $55 billion deficit. I didn't know that. I thought it was about 26 or something, the promises. Anyway, he says $55 billion in his budget, and that Peters was a pork barrel politician. Well, let me tell you, Gareth, for what it's worth, all politicians are pork barrel politicians. Just have a look around at the moment. You are left with the feeling, though, that if Morgan can't get into Parliament, which is doubtful, let's be honest, second best would be good, and that would be inflicting maximum damage on NZ First. Then we have National finally coming out swinging at Labor's potential tax plans, targeting the capital gains tax, the land tax, regional fuel tax, income tax, water tax, whatever. Jacinda Ardern said, well, it's full of lies and scaremongering. She seems to have missed the point of an attack ad, which is to attack. And considering Labor's tax plans are vague at best, they're not defined, more so the capital gain, you get hit. You get hit. Labor should have seen this coming. And blubbering will not cut it. What actually surprised me was how slow National were out of the blocks to attack the taxes. So look, attack ads, part of the political game. Part of the political game. Suck it up.
Yes, that's true, although you do have to wonder about the efficacy of being so negative, telling people why they shouldn't vote for somebody instead of why they should vote for you. I don't think it's worked particularly well for the Tories in the UK at the moment. They seem very focused on Jeremy Corbyn and didn't really talk much about themselves in that last election, and it almost cost them. What cost Hillary Clinton? Was she victim of the same thing too?
What I see in this is a list of excuses for losing the election, blamed everyone and everything except herself, pretty much. If it wasn't the Russians, it was sexism and misogyny. She mentioned that as well. And she'll make, I don't know, 50, 60 million, whatever. But the fact is, she lost, I think, because she was an average candidate who thought she could walk into the White House on the back of privilege, entitlement. I believe that to be true. And the problematic thing is that she blames the Russians, the emails and the server and the WikiLeaks dump and all those sorts of things. But Clinton was exposed. She was exposed, and she brought it all upon herself. She did these things herself to expose herself, depicted herself. I can say this is a cunning political rat. Anyway, so that's Hillary Clinton.
Oh, and there goes our only chance to get an interview with Hillary and Larry going. I was really hanging out for that too, but I just feel like calling her a cunning political rat on air may have hurt his chances. Now, when it comes to making groundless allegations against people, are the allegations of Jian Yang being a Chinese spy or collaborating with Chinese spies, what about those?
He said, once you understand the system and the universities, then you should understand I'm not a spy. I am just doing as a university lecturer and a student. He goes on to say these universities, they teach English language, although after graduation they do those things. But for us, it is just language. As says Dr. Yang, New Zealand First leader Winston Peters has stepped into this. And he said New Zealanders should be very concerned about Yang's background. He suggested that the Labour Party had leaked details of Yang's background after National's attempt to paint their leader as a socialist activist. Well, look, so what we have here is a Chinese guy who has been here since 1999, and would have been vetted every which way possible, including the NZSIS, the New Zealand SIS, I think. And an MP since 2011, a national would have vetted this guy. That would have been stupid if they didn't. And his crime, as far as I can see, is this, that he was teaching in China and some of his students ended up possibly as spies. Okay. Look, unless there is anything more substantial than this, and I don't know, what we are seeing is a kind of a hit job. And it looks, it just smells like it's been saved up until now, dredged up. Now, I don't know, Peter says that, I don't know if it's a Labour hit job, as Peter's claimed, I just don't know that. But if it was, Peters can always rule out Labour in any talks if he's so offended by it. Because we, you know, political campaign, we have hit jobs. It's just, you know, the way it is.
I feel like this newsroom organisation that seems to have appeared, all they do is sort of dig up dirty little stories that aren't really stories and overhype them. I don't like it. I wish they'd go back under the rock they emerged from. Lucy Lawless, she used to be a relatively famous television actor, but now she's some kind of cover band singer.
It's set in, what, 1984 around a New York a nightclub, is it?
Yeah, before they tied it up, New York, it kind of got Disneyfied. And so it's a pretty gritty time, and it was that time where, you know, the stock market was going off, kind of that Tom Wolfe era. It was the rise of AIDS and all the paranoia around that. There was drug use and just craziness, which is a really fertile backdrop for our characters.
And what makes it different from other musical? What makes it, you're describing it as an immersive experience?
Because it feels like you're in a club.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're part of the story because it's in and around you. But you walk in and you come through a subway tunnel and you come out into a New York street, and it's got a jazz bar and a real-life donut shop, and it's really like New York of that era. And at the end of the street is our club, and you get admitted into the world, and the lighting and the costumes and everything. It's so dazzling. You don't expect it in the Faux Ward. You know,
yeah.
WHAU is this wonderful area where a load of Aucklanders live. It's New Lynn, it's Avondale, it's Rosebank there, New Windsor, all that area right next door to Te Atatū. And it's just a short hop off the motorway. It's really easy to get to. Heaps of parking.
I'm pretty sure that's the first time we've ever had somebody involved with some kind of live show give us actual driving directions to get there. I don't quite know what's happened to Lucy Lawless's career, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. She seems to be... Is she auditioning to be a GPS voice now? Is that what's going on? Very confusing. Not as confusing as astrophysics, of course, but Brian Cox makes it easy to understand.
How realistic is the prospect of space tourism?
Oh, I just finished a short programme on this, actually, which I think is going to be broadcast in New Zealand and Australia soon, I hope. And it's very realistic. I spoke to all three of the main drivers of it, so Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and Richard Branson. And they've all got rocket companies, and they're all flying rockets now. You know, Musk has got a contract to take supplies and then astronauts to the space station. Richard Branson's spacecraft is in a test flight program. Jeff Bezos the same. And they have an ambition to make access to space cheap. Not only for the tourists, that's kind of the business model, but ultimately, because Jeff Bezos said to me, I want the entrepreneurs of the future to be able to use space in the way that I use the internet.
Hang on, we want to go up into space to search for porn? Is that what he meant? I may have misunderstood. Ryan Cox is a very entertaining guy, especially on the podcast called The Infinite Monkey Cage. I suggest you give that a go. If you like this podcast, it's almost nothing like it. but you might like it anyway. I am Glenn ZB. This podcast was The Rewrap. We'll see you back here again on Friday for more. It's bound to be Larry again, to be honest. I've forgotten that Mike even exists by now.